Then the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh. Remember, so this is number 5, so number 2 in the second set of 3. For the flies, they rose up early in the morning and went to see Pharaoh. This one, they just go in to see Pharaoh, not necessarily in the morning, and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, again, what? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Not just let them out of the country, but there's things I have for them to do. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. What in the world is a murrain?
Some kind of disease.
Yeah, it's a disease, a pestilence, whatever it is. It's a severe, grievous, great pestilence that comes upon the livestock, a plague. And the Lord said, verse 4, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. So again, God says, you know what? This is going to take place in the land of Egypt, but my people are not going to have to go through this. Their livestock are not going to suffer this plague. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. So again, the Lord protects them. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. This is the second time, or the third time maybe, that God had said this is going to take place when? Tomorrow. Which means you've got some time to what? Think about this, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You've got some time to consider the consequences that are going to happen if you don't change your mind. So God, even in this, is showing grace and mercy to the Egyptians. Well, basically to Pharaoh, but we'll see.
One last nice meal.
One last nice meal. Excuse me. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. So God said this was going to happen. Even in this, you see God's power. This is going to take place tomorrow. Not this is going to happen at some point in time in the future. I'm giving you a specific day this is going to happen. Actually, we'll see later on, God talks about a specific hour that the plague is going to take place. God is in control, and he tells them, tomorrow this is what's going to happen. And verse 5, and the Lord appoint, oh, I'm sorry, not verse 5, verse 6. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel, nothing died. And it's not just, remember, it's not just cattle, but it's cattle, horses, donkeys, camels, oxen, sheep, livestock, whatever livestock there is. It all died. But did you catch in verse 3 a little phrase? Read verse 3 and see if you see the little phrase that gives a little exclusion.
In the field.
Okay, in the field. It seems to be that there were some exceptions. Those who may have been penned up, that were not out in the field, did not die from this pestilence. There would have to be something, because we see later on that there's more that die from another plague that happened. So if they were all dead, obviously that wouldn't happen. But all those that were out in the fields died from this pestilence. Obviously this is going to affect food. It's going to affect
economy,
yep. It's going to affect
travel,
what? Plowing, yeah. Yeah, it's going to affect the economy of Egypt, right? I mean, you can't just have all this livestock up and die and not affect what's going on, right?
The stink.
And the stink, yeah. There you go. It doesn't say that specifically, but quite possibly. So, again, they are affected by this, and God has said, you're going to pay the price for not letting my people go. Jim.
And the flies came back.
And the flies. No, all the flies are gone. But, so we see, again, God protected Israel, but God brought this upon the land of Egypt. Verse 7, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. Apparently, the word had gotten back to Pharaoh, or, let's see. Yeah. Pharaoh went and checked this time to see if, indeed, none of the cattle in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were affected. And sure enough, they weren't.
That's because in verse 4,
yeah.
Moses told him.
Yeah.
Going to
yeah, I was trying to remember if Moses actually said that to him or if that was just stated there. But yeah, so he actually checked to verify what was taking place. And sure enough, God had protected the land of Goshen. And the end of verse 7, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So again, Pharaoh says, you know what? This isn't severe enough. This hasn't affected me enough that I'm going to let your people go. We continue on with the next one, verse 8. So this is number 6, which means this one, do you remember? This one doesn't get announced to Pharaoh ahead of time. So the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you hands full of ash of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. So he's going to see this, but he's not going to be told ahead of time, but in the sight of Pharaoh. By the way, do you remember what the Israelites were enslaved to be making? Bricks, right? What do you do? How do you make bricks? You pack clay together and you stick them where? Someplace hot, right? Because they have to harden. It's quite possible that some of the ash that they took was out of one of those furnaces. Somebody asked me last time, do you think that the Israelites were still they were still enslaved. They still couldn't do whatever they wanted. But I think that by this time, some of their work and the demands on them had probably dropped off, because you can't affect the economy of a nation as much as it's been affected and still expect everything to go as normal, right? So I would think that the situation in the land of Egypt had changed at least somewhat. And maybe the Israelites had seen some relief from the pressure that was put on them to supply bricks because of the fact that everything else was going on. But anyhow.
Yeah.
Exactly. So things are pretty much upset in the land of Egypt. So take this ash, spread it, sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beasts. What is this? Well, a boil is a festering spot, right? And the idea is here it's a blister or an inflammation. It also has the idea of erupting or oozing, so however you want to picture that, you can picture it in your own mind, some kind of oozing, festering sores. Huh? Very painful, yes. It seems to be that this is the first specific plague that affects the physical bodies of the Egyptians. So it has come to this point where God is affecting not just a nuisance, you know, I have to dig a well to get water, or there's frogs everywhere in my bed and I can't go to sleep without a frog under my pillow, or flies being everywhere, or lice. Those are all nuisances, right? The cattle are dying, affects your economy, affects your pocketbook, affects you being able to get around, but it doesn't physically affect you. This one physically affected the people themselves. So, excuse me, these boils break forth with blains, or this festering, swelling up, this oozing upon man and beast. So whatever beast or livestock there is left, they have to deal with this as well. So not only do you have to deal with this yourself, but you have to deal with whatever livestock you have left are dealing with this as well. And you have to deal with them. Throughout all the land of Egypt, and they took the ash of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards the heavens. I don't know how you sprinkle it, but you could probably throw it up in the air. And Moses sprinkled it up towards heaven and became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beasts. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. One place I read that said that the boils affect your legs, knees, feet more than anything else. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But a sore or boil on your foot means that you're not doing much walking. You're not doing much standing, right? You're trying to not stand on them. Quite possibly the magicians who, oh, by the way, we haven't heard about the magicians in the last couple of plagues. The magicians were still around. The sorcerers were still there. Pharaoh hadn't gotten rid of them because they were useless, at least not to this point. But apparently they weren't being able to accomplish anything. Remember when it came to the lice being formed out of the dust of the earth, the magicians what? They couldn't copy that. They could turn water to blood. They could create more frogs, which wasn't a help. Right? They just made the situation worse, however many frogs they created. But when it came to the lice, they couldn't accomplish that. They couldn't do that. And God had come to the point, or they had come to the point where they could not compete with God. How did they get the power to do those other things? Right. Satan's got power to do things, doesn't he? And allowed them to accomplish those. But verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. Again, no mention of the Israelites going through this. They were spared from this plague. Verse 12 says what? And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart this time. chapter when God said to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It has gotten to the point where God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, okay, God knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. Maybe, you know, how God's knows everything, knows how this was going to work out. Pharaoh in his heart had hardened his heart himself. So Pharaoh is guilty on that count. Here, I don't know if Pharaoh would have softened his heart and let his people go, but by this time God had a purpose. Well, God always had a purpose that he was going to accomplish, right? God always knew how this was going to work out. But when it came to this, God specifically hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let God's people go. Why? Because God had a purpose, right? God had a plan and was going to accomplish that plan. And part of that, we'll see in the next plague, if we get there, God's purpose, because God explains it to him. So verse 12, this is the first time that says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. The other times was Pharaoh was responsible for those things, but this time God hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So I was looking for chapter 7. I wanted to read that. Chapter 7, verse 13, I think it is. Is that where it is? No, that's he hardened his. I was looking where it said, where God said that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh wasn't going to listen and wasn't going to let the people go. But it doesn't matter. It's in there. I don't recall that. Okay.
421.
There you go. I thought it was back chapter 4, but I couldn't find it. Nope, that wasn't it either. I mean, I know it said. Yeah. I thought it was chapter 7. There it goes. So God says back in chapter 7, verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs upon the wonders of the land of Egypt. So God says, Moses, I'm going to let you know ahead of time, I have a purpose. I'm going to harden his heart. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. Again, God's purpose. I have something that I'm going to show the people of the land of Egypt and bring forth my enemies and my people out of my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know what? That I am the Lord. So part of the purpose of the plagues is for God to get his people out of the land of Egypt and out from underneath the hand of Pharaoh in bondage. But there's also another purpose, right? God is going to make himself known to the people in the land of Egypt. And we'll see not only in the land of Egypt, but everywhere else as well as we continue on. That was it.
Mm-hmm. For hardening his heart. And it just seems to me like if I put myself in their position, how many times does God tell us if we do, he will do, or if we mm-hmm. don't, he will do? And we don't do it either. I don't do it either.
Right.
You know, there are commands in the Bible or promises or things, and it's easy for me to say, well, I would have done better than that.
Yeah.
But I here I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody
ever harden your heart? Sure we have. Yep. God tells us to do something and we either do it part way and compromise and think that's good enough, or we say, is that really what he told me to do? Or just flat out say, I'm not going to comply to that, because I want to continue to do what I'm doing. You're right. We do the same thing. We harden our hearts many times. Just like Pharaoh is guilty, that makes us guilty as well, right? But God continues to work in the situation even through that. I guess we'll get started. The next one. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 13, rise up early in the morning. So we're now on the third set of three, right? And now, so we're back to rise up early in the morning, go find Pharaoh, and I have something for you to tell him. Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. It's not just let them go, but I have something for them to do. I have a purpose for them. I want them to serve me. They need to serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in, excuse me, and in very deed for this cause, I have raised thee up to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let my people go. This time, God gives to Moses, or actually Aaron, right? Some more explanation for Pharaoh. As we get into the fourth, or this seventh plague. Yeah, seventh plague. excuse me. So, rise up early, go tell him, let my people go. Start with verse 14. And I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. Verse 15 is best translated, for by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you. Because if you come to the end of that, I jumped ahead. Verse 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. God is letting Pharaoh know that the plagues are going to touch him at his core. You know, some of these Pharaoh could say, well, yeah, okay, the frogs, the flies, the lice, the blood, the cattle, they, you know, Pharaoh's got all the money in the world, you know, it doesn't affect him, so what if, you know, the economy's doing bad, you know, I'm still living okay. But God says, for one, he says, whose plagues? It says, all whose plagues? All my plagues. Pharaoh, if you haven't figured it out by now, which you should have, these are coming from me. And two, this is going to come to the point where it's going to touch you at the core, at your heart. It's not just going to be a nuisance. It's not just going to be a bother. It's going to touch you at your heart. And we know by the time we get to the last plague that it's going to do that. And God says to Pharaoh, kind of giving him a warning ahead of time, not telling him specifics, but Pharaoh, this is going to touch you right at your core. Not just you, but your servants and everybody in the land of Egypt. And again, we know what the last one is, don't we? And pretty much everybody in the land of Egypt was affected, weren't they? And so he tells them that this is coming. And again, part of his purpose is that what? You may know that what? I am the Lord, and there is what? None other like me. Remember what Pharaoh said to begin with? What did he say? Who are you? I've got hundreds of gods in the land of Egypt that I worship, whether it's the land of, or the god of the Nile or the water or the animals or the sun or the moon or the stars. I mean, we got them all over the place. Who are you? I've never heard of you before, and if I have, I'm not paying attention to you. But God says, you're going to know me, and I'm going to show you exactly who I am. We'll get to the rest of this next week, Pastor.
My thought was, the land of Egypt isn't too much different than our own country.
No.
The United States people has innumerable things that have become people's gods.
Mm-hmm.
They worship.
Yep.
The most important thing in their life.
Yeah. And at some point, God is going to let them know as well, right?
He will.
Yep. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.